Well, there's so much profound in one of those early lines in that video that said, today we gather together in isolation. Isn't that weird? Isn't that kind of what we're doing today? And it's bizarre and it's crazy, but we're glad that you are here taking part in all that. And this is actually our fourth week live streaming and not gathering here in this room. And it's empty without y'all, and we miss you. But we're glad that you're tuning in and watching this way. But just like I've done every week of this, I want to share this week in memes. I want to share this week in funny things and the things that made me laugh as we kind of look at our experience and where we're at right now. So the very first one comes from the old musical, The Sound of Music. Here you go. The hills are closed. Yeah, they're no longer alive. The hills are closed. So that one got a big laugh here in the room with the handful of us that are here. So they liked that one. This one was for all you ladies out there. I have a feeling the lady wrote this because the guy's not going to care. But here's what it says. I'm getting way too comfortable looking this ugly all the time. I think that was definitely a lady because us men are like, I look this ugly all the time. It's no big deal. But all you Howard Payne students, all you college students who are at home, here was a tweet that I loved that this is a way what you guys need to do. It says, college students home from quarantine, assert dominance by waking up before your parents so that when they come downstairs, you can passive-aggressively sip your coffee and say, well, look who finally decided to get out of bed. So there you go. I love that idea. There you go, college students. You need to do that. Now, this one's probably my favorite this week, and it's when grandma is your quarantine buddy, and this poor little baby is in a crocheted Elvis outfit, complete with the hair. I mean, isn't that impressive? That's awesome. This next one, let me set the stage for this next one. This next one's not meant to be funny, but it's funny. Because this isn't a meme. This is actually a real thing. A guy took a picture of his TV, because here's what it actually is. It's this, let's go ahead and see this. This is them signing the state emergency order calls for fines up to $1,000 for ignoring social distancing. And you can see 11 people all right there together in that thing. So that's about $11,000 in fines right there. Like I said, not meant to be funny, just unintentionally funny and kind of crazy. This next one has absolutely nothing to do with the day and age we're in. It just cracked me up and I saw it this week. It says, warning, cyclists may be raptured without notice. That was a pretty good meme. Isn't that kind of what that picture looks like? Now, this last one, I know it's an election year, and I know that it's kind of a crazy thing. We're not here to talk about politics other than to show you this meme of this one thing. This is a campaign we can all get behind right there. Hand sanitizer, toilet paper, running for president and vice president in 2020. So there you go. But yeah, it is kind of a crazy Easter, one of the most bizarre Easters I think any of us have ever experienced in our time. And I love the story of Easter. We are going to be in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. And I want to go ahead and start reading there in verse 1. This is the story of Easter. And it says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. Now, I love this. Notice what the angel is going to say. Verse 5, the angel told the women, don't be afraid because I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. Listen, I have told you. I want to keep reading here. Verse 8 says, so quickly departing from the tomb, with fear and with great joy, they ran to tell the disciples the news. I love that picture right there, and I love verse 8, because these ladies who are there and they see this angel, these ladies that are there and have this incredible message, they run off with fear and with joy all at the same time. If there's anything that captures what Easter is, to me it's those two words, fear and joy. I love this picture because that is what it's about. But we're going to actually be talking about Easter in four words today because we're going to look at this passage and we're going to take just a short time today to talk about these four things that I think encapsulate Easter. These four words that are mentioned here that talk about what Easter is. First word is just simply this, come. Do you see that in verse 6? They said, don't be afraid, starting in verse 5, don't be afraid because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Verse 6 says, he is not here, for he is risen just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. That first word to describe Easter in four words is come. He is not here. He's not there. And I love this. This word come, it's an invitation, isn't it? It's inviting them. This angel invites these ladies. And I love this picture. I kind of picture this angel. He rolls back the stone and he's sitting on it, right? You kind of catch that? These ladies show up at the tomb and there's just this angel sitting up there. I imagine they kind of walk up and he's like, hey, what's up? Hi. But he says, you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. Come. And he invites them. Come. Come to the one who will give you rest. I love Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, come to the one who died on the cross for you. Come to the one who has conquered sin. Come to the one who has conquered death for you. Come to the one who can forgive. Come to the one who can give you peace. Come to the one who can give you eternal life. Come to the one who is dead and he's not here anymore. Come. Come. But there's another word that the angel uses too, and it's see, right? Notice they said, come and see the place where he lay. You know, there's a difference between looking and seeing, isn't there? I love Calvin and Hobbes. That was one of the greatest cartoons ever written. And there's this great cartoon that I loved about Calvin and Hobbes. And Calvin and Hobbes is about a little boy and his imaginary stuffed tiger that he thinks is real. And they have conversations. And you know, that's not creepy at all, right? You know, I mean, little boys have imaginations. It's fine. But I love this cartoon. Here's the conversation that Calvin and his little tiger have. Calvin says, the whole Santa Claus thing just doesn't make sense. Why all the secrets? Why all the mystery? If the guy exists, why doesn't he ever show himself and prove it? And if he doesn't exist, well, then what's the meaning of all this? I love Hobbes. He goes, well, I don't know. Isn't this a religious holiday? Calvin goes, yeah, but actually I've had the same questions about God, right? Now, here's this picture, this little kid who, you know, is talking not like a little kid. But he's very much going, look, I want to see something. I want to be able to see it with my own eyes. And here's the thing that I want you to catch for a minute. There's a whole big difference between looking and seeing. You can look at something and you can never really see it. But when you see something, your vision is focused. When you see something, it's grasping your attention. You're able to wrap your brain around it. You're able to comprehend it. Now, here's the thing that I want you to catch for a minute. This angel tells them, come and see. He doesn't say, come and look. He says, come and see. Seeing involves understanding. Looking involves just with your eyes, right? What is it that they need to understand? What is it that they need to actually see? Here's some facts about the resurrection that you need to understand. Some facts about the burial and the resurrection. The first is that there was actually a Roman guard that was posted. All right. Now, a Roman guard, they actually posted this to guard the tomb because the religious leaders went to Pilate and said, hey, there's a chance that the disciples are going to steal the body because he claimed he'd rise from the dead. So post a guard. So they posted a guard. A guard could be anywhere from 4 to 16 different soldiers. There's an early historian named Justin in his Digest number 49, which is a very witty title. I'm sure that's what he titled it. That's probably just what we call it now. But he mentions all the offenses that required the death penalty. One way that a guard could be put to death for failing in his duty to guard something, this is morbid, but this is actually true. Justin reports that they would be stripped of their clothes and they would be burned alive in a fire that was started with their own clothes. Now, if there was a whole guard there and it wasn't apparent which soldier had actually failed in his duty, they would draw lots to see which one would be punished for the old tire guard's failure, right? Now, there's between 4 and 16 soldiers that are there guarding this tomb. They roll this stone up, right? The stone weighed anywhere from 1 to 2 tons. That's anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000 pounds. Roll up the stone. They put an official seal on it. They would take a rope and they would kind of put this little wax seal that you could actually see if it had been broken. Then you see that Jesus had been prepared for burial. He had some myrrh, some spices, some aloes, and all of that put on top of him. It was between 65 and 75 pounds of things that were on top of him. And then there's one other thing that happens too. There's the witnesses. You actually know from the previous chapter in Matthew chapter 27 that the ladies are sitting across from the tomb and they see Jesus brought there. They see all of this happening. They see where Jesus is laid and put to death. Now, I mentioned that this is all what happened before the angel tells them, come and see what has happened. They've been there. They witnessed the guards. They saw the seal being put on the stone. They saw this big stone being rolled away. They see the 65, 75 pounds of spices and everything that Jesus is kind of embalmed with. They've witnessed all of this. But what is it that they need to see? Why does the empty tomb really, truly matter? It matters because of what you see in 1 Corinthians 15:17. Here's what 1 Corinthians 15:17 says. It says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless." I want you to picture this here for a minute. Faith is worthless without the empty tomb. If you come to church and you're just here because you don't really believe in the empty tomb, but you just want to worship God, your faith is worthless, is what Paul is saying here. If the tomb isn't empty, everything we do is worthless. It has no value whatsoever. So why is it that they need to come and see? When the ladies are there that day, here are the things that they saw. The stone was rolled away. That seal was broken. The guards had gone AWOL. They're laying there. They've been knocked out. They're unconscious. Then they run away, and that all happens. They walk in there, and the tomb is empty, but the grave clothes were still there. Kind of picture this entire thing. This is what the angels are saying there. They're going, "Come, we're inviting you. Come, see. Don't just look at what you're seeing, but we want you to comprehend it. We want you to understand it. See what has happened." Do you catch the importance of the empty tomb? We have this invitation to come and see, but the third word that if you want to talk about Easter in four words, it's what the angel says to the ladies next. And the third word is go. Notice in verse 7 it says, "And go quickly and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead, and indeed he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there." The fourth word is go. He wanted him to see that the tomb was empty. He wanted him to comprehend, understand that Jesus is still alive, that Jesus is no longer dead. But he didn't just want them standing there looking at an empty tomb and that's it. Now they've been given a command. Before it's an invitation, come. Now it's something that they have to do. Now they understood that Jesus was alive, and because of that, they were to go. Because this fourth word of Easter is go. Because come and see is this invitation to check out what Jesus has done. But now going is about what we will do. Before, come and see is about what Jesus did. Now it's go because it's about what we will do. You actually see 2 Peter 3:18 talks about how we're supposed to go and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I love Galatians 2:20 that says, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I now live in the body. The life I live in the body by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Because we're supposed to go. We're supposed to learn more about Jesus. We're supposed to let Jesus live through us. And look at this in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. It says this, "And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching." This is a very funny verse to read right now. While we can't gather together, at least under the same roof. But I want you to understand that the church isn't about where you are. The church is about who you are. We are gathered together. You know why we're calling this worship under different roofs? Because we're together while being apart. That's the math of God here. And it actually kind of works. It is so important that you're involved in church. And it's so important, not because you need to be at church just to have a little checkbox saying you're here at church. But notice what we're supposed to do. Watch out for one another. To provoke love and good works. I love that phrase. Provoke love and good works. Do you have someone that provokes you? I'm not going to tell you what girlfriend is staring at her boyfriend right here, because I want to protect Rachel's innocence. So I'm not going to do that. But there are people that provoke us. Do you know why we're supposed to go? Because we're supposed to provoke love, and we're supposed to provoke good works in each other. And you can't do that from a distance. But notice, it's not just about going. There's another word too, right? The fourth word, it was go and tell. Go and share the story. go and tell them about what happened. This is the fourth word of Easter. Come and see, go, but don't just go, but go and tell. Tell your story, tell about Jesus, tell about the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. Go and tell that story. You know, we're familiar with Matthew 28, 19 and 20 that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We're to go tell the story that the tomb is empty. We're to go and be witnesses to the fact that Jesus lives. We're to go and call everyone to the God that loves them so much that he offered Jesus to die on a cross for them. The last words that we have recorded that Jesus actually says before he ascends back into heaven after his resurrection is Acts 1:8. And here's what Acts 1:8 says. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and all Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The last thing that Jesus says is he goes, you are going to be my witnesses for the power of what's happened here. You will be my witnesses telling people that there's a God that loves them so much. And I love these four words. Come, see, go, tell. Probably those words all find you somewhere today. Some of you here, you need to come to Jesus. Some of you need to go and see the evidence for yourself. You need to investigate it. You need to look at, was the tomb really empty? Was Jesus who he said he was? You've got the invitation to come and do it. Maybe you need to go. Maybe there's something you need to do to provoke love and good works in somebody this week. Maybe there's something that God has set aside for you to do this week, and you've got to go. You've got to take that step and do it. Probably all of us, if you're a Christian, you need to go tell someone about Jesus this week. You need to give that testimony. You need to let this world know that there's a God that loves them so much. Just a few other thoughts I want to share. And as we kind of wrap up this portion of our service here, I want you to understand that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is probably the best attested fact of all of ancient history. It is the easiest thing to prove out of all of ancient history. The facts are there. There's too much evidence. We don't have time to talk about all that today. In a few weeks, we're going to talk about some of that, a little bit of that. But we don't have time to deal with that today, but I want you to understand that there is tons of evidence of the fact that Jesus not only lived, not only died on a cross, but he rose again from the grave. But the resurrection is a non-negotiable of Christian faith. You cannot come to God without the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Because as we saw in 1 Corinthians 15:17, without the resurrection, it's worthless, it's useless. And this is the message that the world needs to hear. They need to know that God is there. They need to know that Jesus died on a cross for them. And those of you watching today, you need to know that Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to go through one of the most incredibly painful experiences ever for you. So that you could experience love, so that you could experience forgiveness, so that you could have a relationship with God that had been broken by the sin that had messed us up so bad. The truth is, no one can force you to believe in Jesus. It's a choice that you make. Why? Because that's the way God wanted it to be. He chose to make it your choice. He chose to make it your decision. No one can decide it for you. No one can make that call for you. Only you. And if you have never done that, there's not a better day than Easter. The day when we celebrate the resurrection, the day that we look at the empty tomb and we not just look at it, but we see it and we understand it and we comprehend just the immensity and the importance of it. Come and see, go and tell. The issue is quite simple. It's simply this: what are you going to do with the resurrection of Jesus? The most important question, I say this all the time to our church, the most important question that every single one of us is going to have to face in our life is, who was Jesus? And what are you going to do about it? You've got the invitation to come and see. And for those of you that have done that and you've seen that Jesus is real, you have the command, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. Those are the four words of Easter. And I think sometimes we all need to be reminded of that. As the band's coming up, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much that you were willing to die on a cross for us, that you were willing to do whatever it took so that we could have a relationship restored with you. You paid the price that none of us could pay. You took our sin upon yourself as Jesus was nailed to a cross. Thank you that you paid our ransom. Thank you that you have paid our way. Thank you for showing that incredible love that we could never be worthy of. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross, but even more than that, thank you for the empty tomb. Help us to truly look. Help us to come and help us to really see and comprehend what that means this week. Thank you. For it's your name we pray. Amen.